What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care and hospital pharmacy podcast. This is episode 2, and we are continuing discussing pharmacist response to code blues. We're going to wrap up a few things from episode 1, and then we're going to discuss the ACLS algorithm in this episode. When we ended the last episode, we talked about at the start of a code, opening and assembling an epinephrine syringe, obtaining 6 normal saline flushes and preparing them by priming for immediate use, put some needles on some syringes. I start with a 10 ml syringe with a needle on it, and stay focused on the physician running the code. When you are preparing medications and then handing them over to the nurse that's administering, you want to loudly and clearly state the name and dose of the medication as you hand it over. Epinephrine, 1 milligram. And the reason you do that is, there are several reasons, but one, you want to make sure that the team understands what's going on, what you're giving them. You want the physician running the code to be able to hear the medication that you've prepared. Perhaps something has changed and they don't want to administer it. And also the nurse recording needs to know what's going on so that there's an accurate record of the code. Do not hand over an unlabeled medication. I mean, certainly if I'm handing it directly to who's administering it and taking the time to label it as going to have an adverse outcome for the patient, I'll hand over something to administer. But otherwise, everything's got to be labeled. And so, you know, you're lucky for the code. Almost everything that you do is going to be pre-labeled, except if you have to drop amiodarone or maybe vasopressin out of some vials. Everything else is in a pre-labeled syringe. But one thing I do when I'm in between drawing up medications is I'll lay some strips of tape down on the table that I've got or the flat surface I'm working on, and I will just start to pre-label. It doesn't matter that I don't know whether or not I need amiodarone or vasopressin. I'll just start to write on some tape, amiodarone 300 milligrams, vasopressin 40 units. And that way, when the time comes and I draw up those medications, I've got the label right in front of me and I just slap it on. And that way, if I've got to pass the syringe across multiple people, I don't have to worry that it's going to get confused with a flush full of saline or a different medication. And then, after I've handed something over, I want to get another dose of the medication that I was just using. Now, I'm using my knowledge of the ACLS algorithm. So if I just gave vasopressin, I'm not going to get another dose of vasopressin because I know that only appears once in the algorithm. But and we'll discuss that algorithm in a bit. But if I just gave an epinephrine, I'm going to get another epinephrine ready. Keep track of your empty boxes and vials, as oftentimes the team wants to know how much of various medications have already been used. The recording nurse may or may not be able to readily supply this information. So if you have the boxes stacked up in front of you, then you might be able to give that. In conjunction with the recording nurse, keep track of the timing between doses of epinephrine. I personally use a stopwatch app on my smartphone. And the reason for that is because otherwise epinephrine tends to be given every minute or less, just because time seems to stand still in a code. And, you know, now you've got some time to find out some more about the patient, try and obtain their allergies, their weight, height, age, gender, as much information as you can about them as time allows. Always remain focused on the physician running the code. Watch and be aware of events going on around you. Maybe you see someone that doesn't have gloves. You can hand them a pair. Maybe it's time for the x-ray and you want to make sure you get out so you're not exposed to unnecessary radiation. I was just called the other day to the ED to respond to a code. The pharmacist that covers the ED was off. And so I got there and everybody else had masks on. So I just grabbed a mask and said, what am I protecting myself from here? And it was a rule out meningitis case. And never leave a code that's underway without arranging for someone else to handle the medications and being clear who that is. That person may or may not be a pharmacist. Ideally, it's one of your colleagues if you do have to go. And then hopefully you have a positive response and you have return of spontaneous circulation. And if that happens, then you stay and you assist with post-resuscitation care. That may be obtaining medications that are not already in the code cart. You utilize the appropriate resource for that. Maybe it's an additional kit. Maybe it's something from Pyxis. Maybe it's in the main pharmacy. I know I rely heavily on my IV room pharmacists and my technicians in the main pharmacy to help me out with post-resuscitation care. So now we're briefly going to discuss the ACLS algorithm for cardiac arrest. I do recommend that you take part in an ACLS course. It's not necessarily required, but knowledge of the algorithms, and these latest ones were published in Circulation in 2010, they're the ACLS guidelines. Knowledge of the algorithm is important because this way, everyone is on the same page at the start of the code. Errors are minimized, and a functional team can be comprised of people who may not be familiar with each other or work with each other every day. But because everyone has that basic understanding and speaks the same language, then people can be on the same page. If your patient in the code is to survive, they need two things as far as the ACLS care goes. Number one is high-quality, uninterrupted chest compressions. Now, at my hospital, we always have plenty of people that are doing chest compressions. I've never had to do chest compressions as a pharmacist. I predict I will never have to unless I'm the first person to encounter a patient who's coded. And then the second thing is the patient needs rapid identification and correction of reversible causes. And this, I believe, is where a pharmacist comes in because you are able to assist in identifying those causes and selecting appropriate treatment for reversing those causes. So just to go over very quickly the ACLS algorithm, when a nurse or a caregiver encounters a patient in cardiac arrest, they call for help, activate, the code blue system. They start CPR, and ideally there's more than one person in the room now, so oxygen is started and a monitor and defibrillator is attached to the patient. So then an attempt should be made to identify the rhythm, and there are really two rhythms. Rhythms you can shock and rhythms you can't shock. So our patient's coding, they're pulseless. If their rhythm is ventricular fibrillation or ventricular tachycardia, we can shock that. If their rhythm is anything else, that is pulseless electrical activity, or maybe asystole, and you can't shock that. So to go down the pathway for a shockable rhythm, that's one identified as VFib or VTach, the first thing you do is shock. And so this is important for the pharmacist to know that the first treatment is not epinephrine, it's not amiodarone, it has nothing to do with you. The first treatment is electricity. So knowing when to give drugs is important, but also knowing when drugs are not the preferred treatment for the patient at the time is important. After that shock, CPR should continue for 2 minutes, and IV or IO access should be obtained if it's not already. And then an analysis is made of the rhythm again. Is that rhythm shockable? If yes, give another shock. Continue CPR for 2 minutes. And at this time, epinephrine is given. And you continue to give it every 3 to 5 minutes throughout the code. I'm usually giving it every 3 minutes at this point. And then you're going to continue to assess that rhythm every 2 minutes to see if it's shockable. After the third shock, at that point, amiodarone is indicated. So after your third shock, you'll do another 2 minute round of CPR, and you'll be giving amiodarone and looking for reversible causes. If either at the beginning or any time throughout the code, the rhythm changes to something that's not VFib or not VTach, then you move to the pulseless electrical activity algorithm. And this algorithm is CPR every 2 minutes, epinephrine every, or CPR for 2 minutes, epinephrine every 3 to 5 minutes, and then another assessment of the rhythm to see if it's shockable or not every after 2 minutes of high quality CPR. All the while, the team should be searching and thinking about what are reversible causes of the cardiac arrest for this patient. And those basic classifications of causes are remembered as the H's and T's. And so this list is hypovolemia, hypoxia, hydrogen ion or acidosis, hypo or hyperkalemia, hypothermia, tension pneumothorax, tamponade, cardiac tamponade specifically, toxins or an overdose, thrombosis in the pulmonary artery, thrombosis in the coronary artery. And that's a review of ACLS. Again, I encourage you to take an ACLS course or review the guidelines. I will link to them in the show notes. And that's it for this episode. In our next episode, we will discuss the pharmacist's role on the rapid response team. So please subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher. And thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.